All right, everybody, get hands.
Call to order.
Face the flag. Hand over heart. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, sir.
Director Altamirano.
Here.
Vice President Leija.
Here.
Director Scarbella.
Here.
President Treba?
Here.
Dr. Murphy?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, members of the public are encouraged to address the Board of Directors. Do we have anybody in the waiting room? No? Okay, we must be ready for the presentation.
All right, before I transition over to Kirk, so this is Budget Workshop 3, right? We've been doing this every couple of weeks now, going back to the end of April. Tonight on the agenda is to go over the sewer fund, which we weren't able to get to at the last budget workshop, sewer operating capital fund, and then the field admin fund. So with that, Kirk.
Comparing water and sewer, water is definitely much more complicated than our sewer activities. We're a lot less stressful to budget for a little bit. Not a first capital project to go with certain variables. Sewer is a little bit more static as far as the cost that we have to incur. And as far as CIP goes, you know, the actual CIP project is a little simpler. Water complexity and its size. With that, so then also with kind of keeping in mind too that the bill busting with anticipated rate increases that would be at today's board meeting, if adopted, that would be what the kind of anticipated budgeted revenue would be for this fund. So I'm just going to mimic kind of, I'll mimic the kind of board slides, the handout, the agenda packet that went out, and I'll have kind of teachers kind of talk through kind of schedules and other than just focusing on a couple PowerPoints. These ones are a lot smaller too, so there's not really a whole lot to discuss as far as capital projects go, although there is a big capital project in here that we're hoping to accomplish, but we'll get to that next couple of question slides. So hopefully we can knock this one out a little quicker than the water one. With the sewer sales revenue, we're hoping to have about $450,000 worth of additional revenue next year from the sewer fund. We're going to have, if adopted, it's a 7% increase as far as the rate goes. That's for the whole revenues are just from the sewer customer service side, right? So generally we haven't had any kind of like grant revenue as far as the sewer fund goes, although we are looking for every possible grant source that we can find at the moment. If we do find some type of grant funding, I'll do like a budget amendment for it when we go through that process. Generally grants take probably about a year out ahead to actually get going, so I don't anticipate that happening for this year, but we are working towards trying to have a lot more grant funding for specific projects, and that's kind of what we kind of dove into last time, is getting these projects kind of on the shelf, right, because a lot of granting agencies really like to see that you're ready to put a shovel in the ground, you've done your due diligence, you know what's up, and you're ready to go, you're just trying to make sure that you can fund it and be appropriate and have the make it beneficial for you if you're trying to just get the financing and help for it, right? So that's what we're really working for, and we're utilizing a lot more. I can see it in our meetings with our consultants and just kind of general networking of people looking for grants, and we're trying to do, you know, that proactiveness. But possibly, I would love to see some grant funding probably in next year's budget, or if we can swing it, I'd be super happy to bring a budget amendment and find something like that. But again, sometimes those things are a slow process. Even when we project the water one, sometimes those are 3 years out when they plan to get the funding. They may say you're on the list and we're going to get you the funding, but we don't know if it's this year or next year. Those kind of vary. So if I can, can, we'll be conservative on this and try and not plan for any grant funding, but we always look for it. Interest income, line three on here is still looking really nice. We just got our third quarter interest from Lake, our Lake account, for the first quarter of this annual year, our third quarter of our fiscal year. That was around $280,000 for the interest on those. And that's our Lake money market account, basically. That's where we pool the majority of our funds. But that is still, as far as our interest revenue for the year, we're still capitalizing it. You'll be able to see, I can help you see too, in the treasurer's report that went out tonight, that is through March, so that doesn't have the interest in it yet, but we are having a good amount of interest. That's very much helpful. So I kind of statically did the interest income, so I don't want to over budget for it, just in case. But I do picture the interest income staying pretty consistent this last year. We have other, you know, so then like if you see on here, we have interest income on line three, and then we have like non-operational interest income. Generally, I would say the difference between those, if you're curious, is like our operating accounts, like our normal reserves that we pull, we would consider that operational income. But then there's interest income that we earn off of some of those restricted monies that are for like the like capacity fees. Like that's not really like our operating money. That's money that is, you know, for future development, but that money is still earning interest, so I consider that kind of like non-operating. That, like, even the, like, so those capacity fees, when those earn interest, they go into the capacity fee pool, right? It doesn't go, that interest doesn't go unrestricted, it goes towards the capacity fee. So then when those, we do like a percentage and say, hey, this is how much money we had in here, this is the breakout, this is how much interest should go to each pot. And then that's what we would consider non-operational income. So in total, we're budgeting about $182,000 worth of income for the SOAR fund, which is great. I did say grant revenue on here.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How do we access the non-operational funding?
How do we access it? It would be like, it just gets added into like our capacity fee. Right. So when I say capacity fees, that is like the money that we can use for like master plan projects. It's for like infrastructure of like building out like our system. Right. When we have new developments come on, right, that's when they kind of buy into our system and give us the money to help sufficiently fund like expansion that their development requires. Right. Like for more treatment or more lift stations and whatnot. So that non-operational income goes into those pools. When we have projects that are for expansion and projects that are for those developments that are allowed to be used for that capacity pot, then that's when we can access it. But they don't just sit in there not earning interest. We invest them and make sure that they're in a conservative investment that matures.
Who identifies those projects?
We, the district identifies them during the master planning. So just to put it in perspective, let's just say a developer pays us $100,000 towards a future master plan project. That sits in account in 5 years at $110,000. So now we have $110,000 available towards this project cost.
Okay.
Right? So that is restricted. So it just adds to the restricted principal of the original payment received from the developer.
As far as operational costs, the main operational costs of the sewer fund are obviously going to be our treatment costs, which are for the city of Riverside. We go based on a fee budget based on an anticipated cost that they provide us for the next year. So based on that, we're anticipating having $1,876,000 worth of costs for the next year as far as treatment costs go. I hope that that's overly budgeted, but as far as accuracy, we always just go with what they're kind of projecting us to have as far as costs, and then we add our budget as a line item. And then again, obviously, I know they're kind of evaluating how they're allocating their costs, and I hope that this changes in the future when that kind of evaluation is done and it can go lower. But until then, kind of just budget based on the information that they provide us. We have the biggest thing that I see, and I mean, this one on line 16, Hydro Wash. In the past, we've kind of over budgeted Hydro Wash to save up money for our Vactor truck. So we would put an extra $200,000 to $250,000 in that budget line item, knowing that we weren't going to spend it that year, but that that would give us kind of like a more net income at the end of the year, right? So that way we could kind of have like over budget expenses, so that way we know we have money that's going to be left over at the end. And we did this for the last 3 years, over budgeted that, and then since we purchased the Vactor truck this year, I've reduced that kind of added money pool in there. So we are working towards doing more of the my hydro wash is like the cleaning of the sewer lines and doing the maintenance of it, and we use outside vendors, and we are working towards doing that in-house more, so I've reduced this budget, and we've had a, we have a little bit of money in there for assistance and just other kind of fees that come up, but we are going to have, we're hoping that it's going to work out for this year. Also with that, we've kind of increased maintenance on equipment, as we are going to have increased and maintenance having the Vactor truck, so we're seeing those costs going up a little bit. As you notice on line 14, we've gone from 25,000 to about 45,000, so we're anticipating, not exactly entirely sure based on historical data how much repairs and maintenance that truck is going to have, but we're guessing probably going to need to do about another $20,000 worth of maintenance on that vehicle every year to, you know, since it's going to be used and we're going to need to keep it in top shape. So those are a couple of the big changes that have happened there. This year, we're also still keeping operational expense line item number 18 for $100,000 for video line inspection. I know working with our operational department that we're evaluating the sewer line system, and we've gone back and forth between maybe getting like our own type of camera system that we can do internally and having like a sewer, I guess we would call it a video van, technically. So we're going back and forth on debating about what we would do as far as evaluating our system, looking at the lines, you know, especially maybe before and after clean, and then where repairs would be needed. Sometimes we are budgeting for external, vendors to do this on this line item, and then possibly the evaluation of actually buying some equipment to do it internally and work towards that. But right now, we still are kind of in the planning phase of what we really are going to target to do, trying to format it for our budget. But we are
we getting video cameras?
We're debating about it. I think we're wondering if it's going to fit into the budget. We kind of
I wonder who came up with that one.
It's a big cost. The video vans around. We would want to go with that battery powered one. They're about 500,000, so we're trying to bridge that gap for the next couple of years and get us to the point where, you know, that's more of a full time job trying to get the whole system videoed in a year. So working our way up to that is going to be a challenge.
That was listed on his line on the second page is number 52, but there's a zero budget for that this year. It's kind of in there right now. Like, keep in mind, this is like my very rough draft. I like to leave my notes in there for things we talked about, discussed. When you get the final version of this, everything will be cleaned up and formatting will be all there. That's just one thing that we've kept on the schedule as far as the budget goes for the the video line inspection for the 100,000 on line 18. That's one of the things that we're looking to be proactive with in the next year. We didn't exactly get to it as far as this year goes, but I think that's something that we're anticipating getting.
So it's clear to me, in the past, we subcontracted out somewhere. And then how much would that cost us?
We've never videoed our entire collection system. I think we would do it on a case-by-case basis, depending on hotspots. So we have, 80 miles worth of sewer pipeline in the ground that's never been videoed from a system-wide standpoint.
So now with us having this truck and being able to do it in-house, I want to make a big effort this year on getting the majority of our big transmission lines videoed and some hot spots. We're going to find problems when we do
I'm
that.
I'm assuming, how old are some of these lines?
60, 70 years
ago. Yeah,
I got a 90-year-old.
Rubidoux was a sewer district. district prior to adding water as a sewer. Sewer is actually the first service that we provided to everyone. So some of them are 70 plus years old.
We're going to find problems. Right.
But it's better to be proactive and know what they are as opposed to just burying our heads in the sand and just hoping that they don't happen.
At least we know what to prepare for.
Right.
Yeah. But same thing, so like when you see the hydro wash, how that's reduced now, that's because we have our truck for emergency purposes, right? So before we'd have to have, if there's an issue, we'd have to have emergency service for someone to not bring their truck. Those costs and cost of that cleaning. So then that's one where you can see like how the cost was for outsourcing another vendor. I would try to bring those costs in house. We are gradually working towards that type of change at the moment. Another thing in here is the gasoline expense. That's line 21. What I noticed from the power shutoff is that the stations generally, when they're using the generators, and we have those troubles where they shut us off for. I don't know how many days. I believe we were down for probably 15
total,
like for the
total,
year though.
Yeah.
Like probably a total of 15 days, I'm guessing, for the year. So maybe down on and off, counting them all up. But with that, you need to run the lift stations, and with that, I think we incurred probably about I'm budgeting about $20,000 worth of extra fuel costs to make that those systems have their power.
And that's at whatever the rate is right now, because apparently the gas is going to go up a lot higher.
Yeah, I mean, when we get the bills, I believe every time we were filling up the diesel in one of the trucks, it's 100 gallons, and I believe that was about $500 every time, and then depending on where that truck went, I tried to figure out where we were using the fuel, because when that time came, we had a lot of Merit, which is our vendor that we're normally getting our fuel from, who filled up the tank over here. That's where I could see it going, and then so I worked with Brandon and Miguel to try and figure out, you know, where they think the fuel is mostly going to be used, and kind of try to split up that cost. I just looked at the actual cost we had this year, and I made sure that we budgeted for that plus a little bit of a buffer. But I can see that that cost did affect us this year, and I can see those extra bills kind of for that. So that's one thing that has changed on this one. As far as line item 20, I guess we never saw. For the City of Riverside litigation, we have some retrial costs in here. I'm hoping that those costs don't get crazy, but obviously that fund, this fund is kind of historically been incurring the litigation costs. We're budgeting about $150,000 worth of costs for that. You know, that one's just kind of a little bit of a wild card, but there's a sufficient budget in there for. So then we are having some costs for HERV, the Hills Force Main, a feasibility study. We think that one is probably another $20,000. And we are having another kind of more education training. We're continuing to have more education training. We're moving that up from about $2,000 to $6,000 versus super education training, especially if we're moving towards having a standalone kind of super crew. We're trying to make sure we sufficiently budget for training for everybody on hand, to make sure that we're especially getting trained on the master truck and having that. So having a sufficient budget there seems to be a real solid investment. I'm hoping not $6,000 enough, but that might need to go up in the future too as well. And again, if we do kind of shift. Kind of having a standalone sewer crew, we probably would have to do a budget amendment. I don't know if we're going to have that done by the end of this budget, but if we do kind of shift and have like a standalone kind of sewer dedicated crew, once you do the math, you might have kind of like a salaries and expenses adjustment to see if this fund is going to be having that kind of appropriate, if this, what is budgeted right now based on historical data is going to be the same, or if we need to modify it a little bit. This is kind of just gone with our kind of COLA and just general overtime costs that happen. And also, this fund does generally get that kind of general admin expense cost, which is those pooled, you know, admin costs that we pass out to each fund separately based on percentages. So this fund does have an allocation of that also. Going on to page two, this is kind of where we go into our capital assets. Proposition for what we're looking for. So generally we have funds do have actual expenses this year, but those are expenses as far as county-wise. You don't have an expense when you purchase an asset. You just have kind of a cash moving to, like, one asset moving to another asset, and then you have depreciation expense. Generally, we have buffers in here for pumps, so that we have funding on hand in case we need pump replacement, pump repairs that would extend the life, right? These were all, we have repairs and maintenance. Repairs and maintenance don't really extend the life of something. They keep it going, like an oil change. But if you do replace certain things or rebuild a pump, that would be something that would then be capitalized because you are extending the life of that asset, so then we would consider that capitalizable, right? You capitalize that. We did not get a muffin monster. That's one of my favorite terms. But if we, if I described it well, it's kind of a blender. to make sure that we don't have a bunch of big things in our sewer system. But we are still considering getting a muffin monster for that into our budget. And then also, I know we are in the preliminary phases of, like, our SCADA evaluation, and that is going to significantly take off, I believe, in the next year. We're working on, I know I've been on calls with, like, AT&T and getting, like, internet connections to specific locations, so that way we can have real-time, data and stuff coming from there. There's also the option of obviously having, like, radios connecting all the SCADA systems together. We're evaluating that kind of directive to make sure that, not necessarily someone needs to go physically on site to handle alarms, or they can see information real-time on their phone.
There's going to be a lot of hardware that needs to be upgraded on these sites, especially the sewer lift stations. So that's what that $200,000 is for. I anticipate we'll see this again the following year, but not after that.
And then number 51, I believe, I think we had a picture of this with the last board meeting, if I remember correctly, the Wet Well Wizard. So that one is like a, I think that one's a trial one. That's a loaner. So that kind of is a trial phase for us to see what they're like. So we're looking for $150,000 for Wet Well Wizards to help with all those. So that's line item number 51 on here for that. I did have the video ban on here, but I think based on this budget, we're kind of scrapping, not doing a video ban this year, and maybe going down the future once we have maybe more kind of inspections going outdoors and the line cleaning, once we get the lines clean more. I believe maybe that would be a possible thing in the future, but we'll kind of leave those for us as, like, kind of a, I like to leave, like, a breadcrumb trail of what we were considering in previous years, so that way when we have these discussions, I can talk with the other departments, be like, hey, look, we were talking about a video van last year. Is that something we can do? Are we still working for that, or what's our plan? And kind of revisiting these things. Because sometimes you get ambitious, and then when you put all the numbers on a piece of paper, then you realize you got way too ambitious as far as financing goes. Also on here is just air scrubber, another electrical universal connection, just kind of a general $10,000 kind of a safety net for just general other equipment that we think was. So that's kind of it for the first sewer fund budget.
Yeah, I can't see how we possibly can't look at a video scrubber. I mean, without that, knowing that we have pipeline that's been out there.
Video ban, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's a tough way to operate a collection system. I mean, obviously, Rubidoux's been around for 70 years, so it has happened. I just, with technology, what it is today, it's just, there's a different mindset that we're going to take into operating both the water and the sewer system. But it is a large $500,000, that's not nothing. So we're being strategic about it. We're talking internally, because if we do go with that, we want to make sure that we're utilizing the asset as intended and don't just have it sitting in the back lot here.
Yeah, I think we could always evaluate it later on, too. So, for example, next year, mid-next year, we get through some sewer cleaning, the real value that that could add. We could also always go for a budget amendment, reevaluate where we're at mid-year and see if it's possible.
We're trying to do all this without adding headcount at this point. So we're trying to feel this out, see how it goes once we get this little reorg that we're going to propose to you in a couple of weeks goes, and then be able to reassess once we go from there. But yeah, that's it's a big thing for us too. We want it.
So you can. Are you talking about cleaning it and then videoing it?
Yeah, normally that's what we. That'd be a problem.
Most frequently, you would be cleaning it and then videoing it.
Yeah.
And how much can you clean in a day? Like a quarter mile, half mile?
So a good day is 5 miles.
5 miles of cleaning.
Wow. Yeah. Bad day, so, 2 miles.
So if you've got, how many miles we got? 160? 80 miles. Let's say you're going 4 miles a day. So that's 20 days of cleaning to clean the system.
Yeah, a lot of traffic control set up. So, like, this is normally a three-man operation. Somebody to just run traffic control, somebody to drive the truck, somebody to run the reel. We've got to work through all that stuff. We have currently 10 utility workers, two of them going to be dedicated strictly to sewer system here in the next coming year. And we have to feel this stuff out. Like, we just don't want the water side to fail because we're dedicating so much time to sewer. So we know we can get by with what we have for now. And that's what that $100,000 for. It's going to be a big we're going to take on a big – it's a big portion of the videoing going to happen with that $100,000, and that'll give us a good, you know, idea of where we're at. And then moving forward, it just seemed like to buying the truck, that was a big expense, and then running right into a van, that wasn't something that felt like we should be doing right now. But having a contractor give us those videos, somebody that's – yeah, I think that's a – that's a whole specialized production, the video van is. And that's also 1 to 2 people. You know, it's a big on-take for us. So hopefully we'll see what these assessments that we'll get from the contractor this year, and we'll be able to base our opinions off of that moving forward.
So they're going to record or see it before you guys clean it out?
So we'll go ahead of them and clean it, and then they'll video it, and then we'll get the response. So we might – What we're hoping that we don't see is that there's nothing wrong. But then when we do find things are wrong, we'll be forced to address that then. So then these budgets are going to go up for the next year because we're going to start tackling the issues out there before they become real issues.
Could it be that time that it's being cleaned for something to get damaged?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And there's, you know, there's going to be – so these lines, some of these lines have never been touched. So there's going to be learning curves with our team, with everything that, you know, what pressures can we clean the lines at without blowing up into people's homes, right? There's things that are going to – we're going to have to learn as we go.
Wait,
on.
Wait, are we going to get a warning?
Yeah.
You know, there's a house over here on the right there.
We're
go ahead and
that way
that
first.
What are those old lines made of, clay? Those old just clay pipes?
Vitrified clay pipe.
So you're going to spend something like 20 or 40, 50 days here cleaning, and you're going to video that. So you're going to spend something like another 30 or 40 days of videoing. Then you're going to have the videos you're going to need to look at, so you're going to have one person look at the videos for several days just to see what's going on. So I understand the scope of the issue.
Are you trained in that, Brandon?
Yeah, very lightly. Very lightly. The guys at Harupa, they were real close to – they kept it real close to the vest, but I learned as much as I could when I
was. We'll be able to have some type of tracking, like, for all our lines, know where everything's at, right? Like,
well, I think when it's all said and done, the thought would be – you can probably better describe this, but it would kind of look like that GIS thing, and then you could point through the system and pull up that video line right then and there, right? That would be
You'd be able to
nirvana state.
Exactly, yeah. So one of the things that we're going to be or trying to develop in our GIS is a way to track all the line cleaning that we've done, and any associated videos or photos for those sections would be accessible that way.
So that way we can know historically how often something's being cleaned and to make sure that we're not just blindly going through our system.
Any other questions on the sewer O&M budget? All right, Kirk.
So this is what I would consider, like, our, so when I say master plan, these are like the growth projects that were funded from capacity fees. So in here, I'm still working on the development for the EDUs with Jacqueline on how many EDUs we think are going to come in. So this number will get a little bit more refined. But actually, this one is a mirror of these two, Avalon Street, Alto Street projects, and Avalon Street and 63 Way, because these are EDU spots. So technically, we forego them paying us EDUs in an agreement that they'll build certain things for our system. So instead of them paying us and then us paying them as far as a reimbursement for doing a project, kind of just call it an EDU spot, and we say, hey, look, as you go along, we just won't collect the revenue. We track of everything, and we say we're kind of all square. So that's where that income actually comes. So I still like to show the income, but then I also like to show the projects that go along with it. And these are, I think, Avalon Street and Alta, that one is starting.
Oh, that one is, so for the portions of sewer, those portions are mostly completed. There's a small portion at the intersection of Ray and Avalon that's still under construction. But this was part of the project, if you recall, Director Murphy, you had brought up the closure of Avalon and Mission. It's part of that span. So there's a few segments that it consists of, but it's to upsize the sewer all the way from Mission and Avalon, or specific sections of it, from Mission and Avalon all the way up past the 60 freeway, actually, to the new developments over there. So there's two new developments, Emerald Ridge North, Emerald Ridge South, and that's where this one's going up to.
Well, I saw that they shut down the intersection of Avalon and Mission for a couple of weeks to complete that connection. It looks like they got that done.
They did, yeah.
Did they punch underneath the 60 freeway?
There was actually an existing casing from an old pipeline. They just reused it.
So they supplied that, all right.
Yeah.
That's the point, but they pulled out the whatever size it was and put the new size inside that case. So they're doing the work on the far side of the 60 road, or they've already got that done?
So on the far side of the 60, I think that they'll be starting that very soon. I believe that team, the contractor's team, is currently working on the storm drain, and I think they'll go over to sewer next. In that area, it's actually, they always try to do the deepest utility first, and I think in that area, storm drain might be slightly deeper.
So then for this sewer fund, so for this one down here at the bottom, this is where you can kind of see like our reserve of what we've collected in capacity fees and what's earning interest. And so when we have master plan projects that can use this funding, we have about $2.9 million in there for projects. So that's where we kind of show, if we're drawing on these reserves for this year or what we're doing is compared to what is compared like a master plan project, right? These are more like expansion projects. So then that's pretty much it for this portion of the schedule. And kind of showing you the difference of what a master plan project is compared to like what a CIP project is based on consumer rate is Belltown Lift Station, right? So we want to redo Belltown Lift Station and do a rehab and basically, pretty much give it the 100% overhaul, from what I understand. And that's kind of what our customer rates are paying for, right? So they pay for their normal operation and maintenance costs, but then also the replacement of the capital infrastructure that they're using, right? So that's kind of the difference. It's all, that's been in place for those customers. They use that lift station, right, as part of their infrastructure. Their rates generally cover operational costs, but then there's also a little portion that we need to replace that stuff over the course of time. So unfortunately, that's like a repairs and maintenance kind of thing. It's a capital project, but it is for the customer's rate. The customer rates have to fund that, right? It's not because of expansion that we need to redo that lift station. It's because it's getting old and it needs to be updated, right? It needs to be repaired and have, updated electricity. that's kind of the difference of, if you understand the funding sources for those, is that you always still have, so I'm trying to break them out in these schedules, so hopefully kind of make it a little bit more complicated, like less complicated. That's why, like, those, you see that $2.9 million worth of reserves in that capacity fee, you know, pool, but we can't use that for this because this is supposed to be, like, customer rates. It's not saying, hey, look, like when you do the rate structure, we don't want to have all the new development just get hard with a bunch of expenses to cover everything that all the rates, the current customers, right? But then also vice versa, you don't want the current customers to have to pay for all the new expansion and development. So you got to kind of find that, that accounting and that medium that says, hey, this is what the customers need to pay in their rate structure to fund repairs and maintenance, capital projects, and then what's new stuff, what's added capacity. So it's not as easy to predict, but it, that's where those, hopefully trying to explain to us kind of the difference in the funding sources. So in the CIP budget, we used to, in our previous rate structure on line one, we used to have sewer sale, sewer replacement. We kind of talked about this with the water fund. We made our rates less restrictive, right? So they're more variable when we need to use them. So we used to pull certain monies aside that we told the customers, hey, we're going to take, you know, let's just say $1 every out of every month for you to contribute towards capital project funds, right? So we did that, and I did accounting for that, and I pulled it, and I pulled it aside, and I separated the accounting for it, and that's like its own pool of money, right? Sewer has a capital project. We draw on those funds first before we draw on other unrestricted items. So you can see in this schedule at the bottom, the capital reserve based on most recent amounts is $608,750, right? So we'll draw on that restricted money for these capital projects and essentially draw that down to zero, and then unrestricted monies will then cover the difference of the Belltown Lift Station rehab project, which we're estimating to be about $2.2 million.
How old is that? Has that ever been upgraded?
Never been upgraded.
Belltown's so old over there.
Yeah.
I would say at least 50 years old.
Yeah.
But at least 50 years old.
It's more than due.
The well itself is time.
So in the 2024-2025 budget, it was $1.2 million. 2025-2026, $0.2 million. The budget increased by $1 million. And we have a better number because they're in the design. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. Okay, sure. Originally, there was thought that the electrical panel could be reused, the MCC. But it can't be. There's some severe corrosion at the base of it, which makes it structurally unsound, and it needs to be replaced. Electric costs have gone up significantly over the last few years, probably since COVID, and so we're just trying to put a conservative number in there. They currently have applied for the SCE application, and once we have an understanding of, like, the new any new electrical requirements, we'll have a better number. But for now, we were just trying to be conservative.
This is the one where you're looking to change the voltage?
Yes.
So we have a number of lift stations. They currently all use the same voltage, or are they voltage varies?
That I'm not
sure.
This
is kind of a too detailed a question. Never mind. Don't worry about that later. Okay. I understand this.
So as far as capital projects go, then that's the main bread and butter for the sewer fund at this point. And then you have just a design for Hoover Hills, Horse Main. Any questions on that screen? So, like, a lot less, you know, I mean, there's stuff going on for sure, but a lot less kind of things. Water fund. Lastly, this is just the field admin budget fund. So this is November, right? This is the water funds portion of what we've set aside for the field and admin building projects. This is just conservative budget so that way we can fund the design and construction costs for field admin projects. And this is just budgeting the entire allocated reserves, just depending on how far along we get on that project. So there's $815,000 about in restricted money for that project, and we're just budgeting that portion in here for now. Funding for it. So this has always been kind of a standalone budget that it's had. Other than that, that is budget that we're set to go over today.
Good question. So
we were putting money away for that. At we had a special fund.
We did, and that changed with the new rate structure in 2020. That money has been growing, but only via interest the last couple of years.
Director Murphy has a question.
And the balance of the fund is around $3 million. Is that what I'm reading here?
Which one's referring?
So it's the second to last page. It's the capital improvement master plan project.
Developer monies are just under $3 million.
Just around.
Money's on deposit.
Okay. All right. Super helpful to have that.
All right.
So as far as budget finance needed stuff goes, I'm looking to go for adoption for the budget at the June 19th board meeting. And so after you, normally we kind of do one that is like a kind of another budget and finance meeting that's basically like a really solid draft of everything combined. So if you guys want to do another budget and finance meeting with a kind of overall everything combined draft, you know, if you have any other comments that you've thought about as far as their budget or any questions, let me know. But as far as scheduling, either if you want to do that or if you just wanted me to bring a final budget to you on the 19th of June, I can do that. But
how about that? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered it.
June 19th, the budget package goes out June 17th. Again, all of this is going to come together. What if we issue, if we were to go forward June 19th, what if we to issue the final budget a couple of weeks ahead of time?
Yeah,
it's
not
like
we
have 2 days
ahead of time before that.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
So currently the budget is in draft form. When does staff think they're going to be able to finalize it? How much more time do you need?
Like, try to make it as accurate as possible. So, like, right now we have March information in this draft, but I closed out April and I've done all the accounting for April now, so I'd like to use the April numbers for this. That way I can be the most accurate as far as projections, because I feel like that would be more helpful. As far as being ready, I can be ready to, if you want to have, you know, let's say a budget finance meeting at the end of May,
Thursday.
I can be ready for that. It just depends on what works best.
What day will that be?
That's a Thursday.
We can. We've always tried to do the budget finance on the same day as board meeting to kind of make it easier. So it just depends on what the board would like to do. I can have it ready in the next week, so it's ready for you. It goes out to you on the 27th of May.
27th.
Yeah, that's, if you want to go to the
have a special meeting.
If you want to have
we can distribute the final draft.
He'll distribute it so you can go over it.
So there's. We have reviewed the draft budget. We're going to receive the final budget for approval. The question is, do we receive it a couple days before we vote on it or sooner?
Well, also, if you want to have another budget finance meeting to go over it.
I don't think we
do. I'd like to hear from the two new board members as to what their opinion is, because they have the biggest challenge looking at this.
What do you guys think?
I would appreciate having it to us. To get it earlier than a couple days before the 19th. That way, if we should have individual questions, we can always go over those.
Yeah. What if we do this? What if we try to not to talk to Kirk, but what if we issue the final budget at the end of this month, right? And then we say provide your comments by X date, which is well before the agenda gets posted and the final board packet goes out on June 17th. So if we issue the budget by the end of May. And then we get all board comments no later than June 9th. Yeah.
Perfect.
That works?
Yeah.
And then that gives us a week. If we get them June 9th, that gives us a week to get our ducks in a row by June 16th. That's the first half forward?
That sounds good.
Okay.
You got those dates?
All right, good.
Any other questions?
No.
Good. All right, back to the president.
All right. So we will adjourn and have take a 15-minute break and start the meeting at 4 o'clock.
All right, we're done, Leslie.
Leslie's done?
No, I just barely saw let's just adjourn for a minute until.
Okay, see that. Did you run home real quick?
Man,
that was good exercise.
Everybody should have all been
standing to read.
Okay. We can stand. Okay. Now we're good.
All right. Pledge allegiance, please.
Everybody can stand once again. Raise the flag. Hand over heart. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, sir. Oh, and by the way, Leslie's back.
All right. So for the second time this evening, Director Altamirano, roll call. We'll get to that during manager's comments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Continuing, 376 acre feet for month of April. Potable water and wastewater comparison. That's about 4 million gallons a day produced of potable water, and wastewater was 1.75 million gallons a day. This is a site treatment plant. Reservoir report in about between 70-80% for, and the chemical delivery sodium bisulfite. We had 1,462 gallons delivered to the Thompson plant. The Warren certified white crystal salt, 25.5 tons that goes to the plant. Chlorine goes to wells at the Thompson plant, mid plant, 84,400. Questions?
comments. Okay. Next up, we have the emergency and incident report.
For the month of April, we had 268 calls, having response time of 4 minutes, 36 false alarms, 181 medical aid, 5 other types of fire, 2 other miscellaneous, 8 public services, 3 residential structure fires, 1 rescue, 4 standbys, 27 traffic collisions, and 1.
Thank you. So I received the documentation on the Santa Ana River Bottom incidents over the prior years, 2017 to 2024. There was a small portion including 20. So thank you for that. What I was interested in was the amount of activity that's occurring in the river bottom and relative to the activity. It's a small number. You guys are doing something on the order of 250 call-outs a month. A year, that's 3,000. And the river bottom call-outs are around 20 to 50. So a relatively small percentage.
What I have a question for is, who determines what side of the river is responsible for those kind of call-outs? Riverside?
So anything that's on that, map was dispatched by our command on our side of the river. So sometimes we do get calls in between. We have to go out there and figure out whose jurisdiction it is.
So to clarify, so all of the things that are plotted on that map, that's not just Station 38. That's
no,
Cal.
No,
that so
is
that's
Riverside.
Cal.
It's
the length of Riverside County in the river bottom.
Or Riverside, Cal Fire, Riverside, Cal Fire. So all the calls that we responded to.
So Cal Fire stretches on the other side of Santa Ana River.
In the Norco, basically I was pointing past. And it does have.
The two primary calls were medical assistance and fire. Thank you for that information.
Okay. Questions, comments? Okay. Next up, we have the general manager and staff reports.
Okay. I got a couple of updates, but before that, you might see that we have a couple of new faces in our audience today. So I'm going to give them a brief introduction, but maybe Jaylene, am I pronouncing that right?
Jaylene,
okay. I might have Jaylene provide a little bit more of an introduction, and then she'll get into a little bit maybe what she will be doing on behalf of JUSD being liaison to Rubidoux for next school year. So this is Jaylene, and then this is Giselle. And they are with JUSD. So with that, Jaylene, sorry. I will get that before you start.
So hi, I'm Jaylene. I'm currently a junior in high school at Patriot. Incoming senior, I'll be my senior year. I'm here because I'm part of Interact Club, and Mr. Green decided to, give me this role. I'm very thankful, and I'm very excited for it. And I'm just here to sort of, communication between the.
Yeah, just to provide a little bit more to that. So we've been working with not just RCSD, right? But, one of the things I've wanted to do during my time at GM, I want to develop more of our partnerships, our networks with the surrounding agencies in Arupa Valley, JUSD being one of them. I sent the email either Monday or Tuesday. But we are essentially partnering with JUSD just to share more information. So Jaylene will be the JUSD liaison to Rubidoux. I think she'll be coming to maybe one board meeting a month,
yes,
starting next school year. So that begins, I believe, in August. Right? So they came tonight just to introduce themselves, but you'll be seeing more of them come August.
So you're going to be a liaison to the whole district, or just the Patriot that you're going to?
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
What was the club name?
Oh, it's called Interact Club. It's a Rotary Club.
Interact.
Yeah,
okay.
Cool.
I think I've met you through at the Lions Club. Don't you know?
I am not.
Good organization.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much. All right, I've got two more updates. Cue up the pictures. So a couple of weeks ago, and I'm glad that Chief Otterman is here, we were invited to partake, not in that one. We were invited to view, I guess, the Cal Fire exhibition exercise.
You fire preparedness.
There you go, fire preparedness exercise. This is at the Norco Rodeo.
Yeah,
Club. There you go. So it was very cool. They had a lot of demonstrations, helicopter being one of them. They parked it. We got to look inside. We did not get to fly it, unfortunately, in the future. Just a really good experience. I believe I had mentioned it at one of the previous board meetings. No, Director Scarbellos was there. We did that, and we saw a line crew or hand crew. Hand crew. Oh, there we are. And just an all-in-all good experience. So I believe a duplicate will happen again next year around the same time.
Late April.
So when I get that information, I will make sure to pass it to the board. I was definitely overdressed for the occasion, but I'll be better prepared next time.
Yeah, street shoes aren't good for walking up the hill.
Okay, moving on. A few more pictures. Two Thursdays ago was the mayor breakfast. A couple of staff members are there. A couple of there is President Treba. We've been doing this for a couple of years. Herb Valley has been doing it for 15 years, or 14 years now, going back to 2011. Just a great morning, and we had a few pictures there. And is there one more? Oh, yeah. Last Saturday was the Hoopa Valley Public Works Open House. We have Felipe and Marcos, who've been with the district. Well, Felipe is relatively new to the district, but he's an up-and-comer. And then Marcos has been in the district for about 5 years. There's President Treba, so another event that we're always happy to participate in. And then there's a teacher from that event.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
Incoming President Langer went there. And it was a really good presentation. They did an excellent job. They were very,
they represent the district very well.
Yeah.
Can we just show you how that
works? Referral there. I especially liked the fountain. That was good. Effort. Yeah.
So I have to compliment Holy Faith, because when I introduced myself, he was very welcoming, and he remembered dropping off a packet at my house and what street I live on.
Actually, he lives within the district, so he is local. I think he lives just right down the street here.
But they actually looked like they were having a good time,
yeah.
And they were talking about everybody.
And it was hot.
Yeah.
Oh. It was hot. Very hot. He went to Middle High School, didn't he? Yeah. That's why it was that partnership was really important with JUSC, because he was a student that came from here. He got the job because of his neighbor. So being able to have the kids out here and learn what they need to in the future, maybe. Because these young people don't need them. They want to stay here.
Right.
So
correct.
See how we can get people in here, or even other water districts is really important. So
all the agencies really were there. They were all there. And the fire department there. The canal district was there. JUSC, the Parks and Rec were there. So it was a pretty well-attended function. Because it is hot.
By canal district, you mean flood control?
Yeah.
Flood control.
they're very simple.
The guys that built the canal.
That concludes manager's comments.
Anyway. Okay.
Bye, Chief.
Happy birthday. All right. Okay, next up we have committee reports.
The only committee was the one that we had an hour ago, the budget committee. There is an upcoming solid waste committee for Monday. So on the dais is a separate envelope with the committee packet for the solid waste committee. But that's it for committee updates.
Okay. Next up, we have action items. Item number 8, Director's Memorandum 2025-41, public hearing.
Kirk's going to take item 41 and 42.
Right. So we've been talking about, you know, I'll discuss them, you know, kind of together, but there are formalities that we have to do as having a public hearing today for water and sewer. So we'd have to hold two separate, public hearings for each one. We'll do the first one with this DM and we'll vote, and then we'll also move on to the next one and do the same kind of thing. But just as an introductory to these, we've been talking about water and sewer rates for the last, you know, three board meetings, technically, and, you know, discussing them throughout our budget finance meetings. So you're kind of well-versed in, you know, kind of the information that we've provided. So I don't know if there's any other last-minute kind of questions or anything that you may have in regards to these rate increases. I do have the attached, proposed increase. Again, the proposed wastewater increase is 7%, and the proposed water increase is 5.5%. And I don't know if there's anything else that you guys have information on. I can bring back up the slides as far as showing you where our rates are projected to be compared to other utility providers. But as far as today goes, as of 30 minutes ago, we haven't received anything else. We have not received any public comments via mail, phone, email, any calls with regard to this. So this being a public hearing, we posted in the Press Enterprise 10 days before this meeting. We've had it posted, the notice posted on our windows, on the front and the back, and we have not had any correspondence as far as any customers trying to provide any feedback or their comments regarding this. Again, this is a public hearing, so it's not like a Prop 218 where they can submit votes and veto it from even getting to a vote. You can listen to any, you know, public feedback that is provided to you, but ultimately it goes to a board vote regardless. So as far as that goes, we would need to formally, when we go through this, if you guys have any other questions, we would need to formally open up a public hearing. Unless somebody else walks in the door to provide comment, then we would close the public hearing and then it would go to deliberation and a vote. We'll do that individually. We're not going to vote on them at the same time. We'll vote on them individually, and I believe does that have to be a roll call vote?
Yes. We can do that. It doesn't have to be, but we can do it that way.
I'll give you a mic.
It doesn't have to be a roll call vote.
But I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have before we can open that public hearing and before you deliberate. I'm happy to answer any other questions.
We're going to
break it
down one at a time.
Yeah.
Okay. So the resolution or the question is we want to know whether we want to adopt the ordinance.
Yeah, so let's go through the wastewater first, and we can have you open up the public hearing for the wastewater.
Just really, really fast. So, again, this has a 30-day delayed effective date in ordinance. So it is May 15th, but we would have the effective date be July 1, 2020, both water and sewer. So just to clarify that.
All right.
Over to you.
Okay. So
you need to open up the public hearing.
Yeah, we're going to open up the public hearing right now.
Is there anybody online? Okay. Close it.
Close it.
Open deliberation.
Open deliberation. Questions and comments.
I'm ready to vote on this.
Move for approval of the rate increase.
Murphy's first. Murphy's second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those in vote?
So then, again, so now we will be moving on to the next DM, which is DM 2025-42, which is in regards to the water rate. So then, same kind of concept. Everything's been posted for both of these in the appropriate amount of time. They're both were in the Press Enterprise. The support attached to the DM both been posted on our windows. So then again, it would go into public hearing and then for deliberation and then for a vote.
Okay. Any questions? questions and comments?
Wait a minute.
Public hearing.
Do we have anybody in the
Nobody in the waiting room, right? Close it. Questions, comments? Marana is the first. Is the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay.
All right. Have to be closed session. All right. We're going to go into closed session.
How many years, Brian? 12 now?
2011. 2012. So 13 years.
That's a board.
13 years going to 2025.
All right. Director's comments. I have one real quick one. Director Major, you want to tell us a little bit about what we got going on this weekend at the Parks and Rec?
This week, yes. Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we will be unveiling our brand new Veterans Memorial Wall. Everybody in the room is invited, both board members and staff. It's going to be a great event. It's something that me and JARPD have been working on for almost 2 years to get to this point, and about $500,000 on this project. And it's going to be a definite statement piece, not only for JARPD, but for the city and its residents. So I hope I can see you all there. This Saturday.
What time?
10 a.m. We'll be inducting two individuals on the wall.
Who is it? Do you remember?
I'm not sure the first one. The other one is Chester. Remember Chester?
Sure.
Yes, Chester will be inducted on the wall.
Right.
I'm to put my hat in. Okay. Great. Just still go check it out. And we spent a lot of money just redoing this flat.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
The next meeting is
thank you.
Next meeting is June 5th.
Is there anybody else?
Now and